It's great to be here. I'm so happy to be with all of you at Christ Pres. I've been coming to this congregation for probably 20 years and have enjoyed every visit with you. And I was thinking my friend Mike McLean would be here this morning. I don't see Mike. Oh, well, okay. Doing the Lord's work. I should have known he would be about the Lord's work. God bless them. We have such a long and wonderful relationship with Mike and Carol. Mike took me to Sturgis on our motorcycles back in 2008, and what a thrill that was, I'm telling you. And, you know, interestingly, we went to minister, and Mike had been there 15 times or something, where four of us from Boise went down there, and we went to minister. We wanted to reach out to the bikers and share Jesus. We're all Christian motorcyclists. And we got there and went to the church to sign in to serve, and the waiting list was over 100 names long. There were more Christians than Hell's Angels at Sturgis that year, so praise God. Anyway, it is so good to be with you. Thank you, Pastor, for extending the invitation to me. I'm very grateful, and I'll do my best to not cause you any heartburn today. I can do that, so... So good to see so many friends and hear so many of you tell me about that. Oh, okay. Hear so many of you talk about getting my mail. I appreciate that. If you don't get my mail from Boise Rescue Mission, boiserm.org is our website. And you can go on that website anytime and find out all the current events and see what's going on, some of which I'll talk about this morning and some of which would be new. So BoiseRM.org. All my young staff tell me, Rev, you got to keep telling people, BoiseRM.org. So that's three times. If you see them, tell them, he did it. He really did. Pray with me. God, thank you for the great privilege that is mine this morning to stand before your people, your shepherds, and to share the good news of rescue. God, help me to do that well. And I pray that your blessing would be over every family of this congregation, those here, those in Guatemala, those absent. Bless them and keep them and fill them with your peace and your joy. And I give you thanks for their faithfulness to you, Jesus. Amen. I thought I'd start by giving you an update. Someone already has asked me. A couple people have asked me about our new building on Curtis Road, and I'll get to that in a moment. But as I give you the news and the updates, I want you to also remember that every single day, 365 days a year, we are open at our four shelter facilities in the valley, serving homeless people. That goes on, regardless of new adventures and new buildings and new projects that we're undertaking. We're still open 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, serving people at the rescue mission. So please keep us in prayer for that effort. It's a lot to do. And this last week, we had a really terrible thing happen. One of those things, you know, that people do while they're lost in the darkness. Someone put something into our computer server and shut down all of our computers. And that was a week ago yesterday that it happened. And as of yesterday, they're still not up. We have 44 computers at the rescue mission that have to be completely restarted, whatever they do, reset up. The good news is I'm the old low-tech guy. I don't use a server. I have a laptop and it's a Mac and nobody can get in there except me and Jesus. But it's been a terrible week. My poor bookkeeper has been, when I saw her on Monday a week ago, I stopped what I was doing to pray for her. She looked so distraught because all of the bookkeeping information was locked out and we couldn't do account. We had to hand write all the checks on Wednesday that we paid it. So we had that happen, and then I got this tooth, and they got to yank the tooth out and put in this thing and screw it down into the bone of my jaw. I had that happen a week ago Friday. It still hurts. So it's been one of those weeks. But praise God. He's with me. He's with us, and all is well. And so as we continue on in ministry, 350 men, women, and children are sleeping in our beds last night. More or less. We'll serve 600 to 700 meals today, more or less. And the good news is that over 100 people have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, received Jesus as their Savior at the rescue mission so far this year. That's the best news I can tell you. Last year at the holidays, we had record numbers of people come to Christ, and I hope you'll pray for us that this holiday season will be the same way. I was sharing with someone earlier that this year our Boise Thanksgiving and Christmas banquets are going to move from the Cathedral of the Rockies downtown to the Vineyard Church in Garden City. And the reason for that move is twofold. One, Rockies had a conflict that couldn't accommodate us, and two, we discovered through our census of people coming to those events that most of the people who came to those events came from Garden City and that end of Boise. So we're going to hope for a full house for both Christmas and Thanksgiving and a lot more decisions for Christ and hungry people fed and Christmas presents for children and all the wonderful things that happen there. So keep, and if you want to volunteer with us at Thanksgiving or Christmas, now's the time to go to boiserm.org and check in and volunteer, because it fills up really quickly. And I'm telling you, every year we have to tell people, sorry, we just don't have any more volunteer spots open. Come and have a meal, you know. So if you want to volunteer with us, you need to get about that pretty soon. And Veterans Day is coming, the next holiday for us who are veterans. We will have our annual veteran luncheon this year again at the Riverside Hotel in Garden City. They made great accommodations for the rescue mission there to have our banquet, our veteran banquet. We're going to have a wonderful motivational speaker, a female lieutenant colonel, retired United States Army. She's going to share her story, and it's a very inspirational story of resiliency and dedication. We're going to honor our own Veteran of the Year from our Veterans Transitional Living Program, and we'll also award someone from the community the Friend of Veterans Award from the Boise Rescue Mission. That's a wonderful event, boiserm.org. You can see it right there and sign up, or call the office and tell them you want to come. We do need a count because we get meals for that event. We need to know how many meals to have for lunch. Veterans Day this year will be celebrated on Friday the 10th. Official holiday is Friday the 10th of November, and it will be at 11:30 at the Riverside Hotel. So join us for any of those things, and I promise you, you'll have a good time. You do have to be careful when you volunteer at the rescue mission, because I was a volunteer at the rescue mission, and now I work there. So watch out. Oh, and I have to throw this in. We at the rescue mission, we pay weekly. Very weekly. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm here by invitation. Curtis Road. I think last time I was here, we were just starting the process of trying to remodel that building. We bought a 55,000-square-foot assisted living facility on 5 acres in Boise on Curtis Road. It is a remarkable building. We had no idea how decrepit it was until we started remodeling it. But the truth of the matter is we got a huge discount in the purchase price, and it's a good thing because we've got a lot of work still to do there. It's about 75% remodeled right now. And with God's blessing, we expect to have a huge celebration probably late February, early March, as we officially open the building up. I already have 4 or 5 families living in there because the south end of the building, it's built in a big U with one row down, like a big W upside down, I guess. And we have the south end of that building pretty 100% completed in most rooms. So I've already got some families staying in there in transition. But there will be 60 apartments in that building. 7 of them will consist of 3 rooms where we put a door between the rooms and created a 3-room suite. And that will be for those people that have a lot of kids, a mom with a lot of kids, a family with a couple of kids. And then we also took some rooms, 25 rooms will be 2-room units like that. And then the rest will be single room occupant. But it will accommodate over 100 people when it's all finished and said and done. And that's going to be a wonderful addition to our transitional living program that we already have. You know, we have 54 apartments right now between Nampa and Boise and over at the River of Life Mission on the 3rd floor where the veterans stay. We have over 50 apartments right now of transitional living. And that program has been very, very effective. And it still is. The problem is there are more people needing that transitional living situation from the shelter back into independent living, and the rent and the cost of living out here is so high it takes people a really long time to work and save their money and be able to move into that apartment of their own. So this is going to give us another 60 apartments, and it's going to be a huge, huge blessing to people who have come to the mission, found their way to the cross, discovered life with Jesus, getting sober, getting sane, getting their families together, going to work and saving their money, and now helping them in the time between the shelter and independent living with a decent place to live. Each of those rooms has a full bathroom, and they have brand new beautiful windows that all face outside. And of course, they have a door that locks to the hallway. So it's going to be home for in a temporary way for the people who stay there, just as they do now in the units that we already have online. And for your information, we do have a program fee associated with that program, because we want people to begin to understand what it costs to live and help them to develop a budget, help them to be ready for that transition out into their own apartment in the community where the rent's going to be a lot higher. Our sliding scale goes from zero to about $400 a month, depending on the income of the person or the family. And that's done in cooperation with the person staying there, because they're going to list all the debts that they have, and they have debts just like all of us do, and some have other debts that you and I don't have. Court fees comes to mind. Back alimony and child support. We want people to be responsible for those things, and we want people at the same time to be responsible to pay a fee every month for the place that they're given to live. We have a beautiful kitchen that's been 100% remodeled in that building. Beautiful. It's going to be it'll be the best kitchen in the rescue mission. And if you've seen our kitchens, we got some pretty good kitchens. This is going to be brand new and the best. And so we're going to serve meals there, and people will sign up for the meals. We're going to give sack lunches for those who work. When they go in the morning, they'll run by and pick up their sack lunch. The children, of course, the same with school if they don't have a lunch program. We're going to take care of people, and then we're going to bless people, and they're going to prosper and grow, and they're going to get out of here, out of the rescue mission, and become part of Christ Press and other wonderful congregations in this valley and serve God that way. But it is taking longer to help people get out, and we're going to work with that. Another program that we developed 1 year ago is the Cradle of Hope Ministry. Cradle of Hope came about because of the overturning of the Roe v. Wade decision on abortion. And when that decision happened, you'll remember there was a lot of chaos going on out in our world about what's going to happen to all these poor girls that are pregnant and have to have their baby and so on. And I met with some other people in the pro-life community here, and we talked about the fact that some of these women and girls who were becoming pregnant were going to want to have their baby, but they were going to be pressured to not have their baby, either give it up to adoption or give it up through an abortion. And what was going to happen, and how could we serve those ladies and girls? And so God spoke to us and persuaded us that we could be a part of the solution to that problem by becoming the emergency shelter facility for women and girls in that terrible situation, to where they become pregnant and now they're going to lose their place to live. And so we started the Cradle of Hope program. A couple of my staff brainstormed it, put it all together. We decorated some rooms just for moms with new babies, and we launched it, and it has been hugely successful. And so we're partnered up with all the pro-life agencies in this valley so that when they find a woman or a girl who's pregnant and in a crisis for a place to live, they refer them to us. We open the door, we welcome them in, we lead them to Jesus. Amen. And we bless them and their babies. And that relationship isn't just for the time that they're with us and the time that they're pregnant and delivering their baby. That relationship can go on for the rest of their lives, just as it does with other people who come through programs of the mission. We become family and friendly to these ladies and these people, and we want to stand alongside of them all the way, as long as they need us and want us to stand alongside of them. And it's been a fantastic adventure. Again, there's a testimony on the newsletter this month. If you get the newsletter in the mail, you've seen it, about Trey Linda. And her testimony is online at BoiseRM.org, too. And you can look at it there. It is an incredible story. Here's a young woman. She already had a son. I think he's about 3. And suddenly, unexpectedly, she finds herself once again pregnant. And of course, she was in that terrible situation where there was no one to help her. Baby daddy said, "You're out of here. I don't want any part of this." And so she's stranded and wondering, what am I going to do? And this is a young woman who has never had any kind of normal life in all of her 20-something years. This is one of those terrible stories of some young woman who has been abused almost from the day she came into life. And everybody that should have taken care of her didn't, and people that should have loved her hurt her. And then she ends up with a baby and now pregnant again and nowhere to go and wondering, what am I going to do? And she went to Stanton Health. Someone persuaded her. She was staying with a girlfriend who said, go to Stanton Health and maybe they can help you. And she went there. And when she went there, they told her, you can go to City Light Home for Women and Children and they're going to help you. They have a program just for you, just for moms. And she came. And the change in that young woman has been absolutely amazing. She was in the dark, and now she's in the light. And she's gonna prosper, and her baby's going to prosper. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story. Check it out on the website. And then looking to the near future, the very near future, the future is now, you might say, we see a large increase in the numbers of youth coming to the rescue mission. And by that, I mean young people between 18 and 25 years old who are homeless, who are not at all prepared to entertain life out there. They don't have job skills. Many of them, believe it or not, with all the opportunities, many of them don't even have a high school diploma or a GED. And these are kids, a lot of the time, who were in foster care homes for time and time and time again and didn't succeed there for whatever reason. And now they're 18 years old, they can't be in foster care anymore, they end up homeless, they end up at the rescue mission. And then there are others just like them who weren't in foster homes, they came from homes, and some of them came from good homes with families who loved them and took care of them, but they made bad decisions and choices, and they got in with the wrong crowd, and the devil got into the system, and the next thing you know, they're in jail, they're addicted to dope, and they're having all kinds of grief. And we're seeing more of, we've always served these people, for sure, but now we're seeing more of them than we've ever seen before. And so we're brainstorming as a board and a staff about how are we going to meet the needs of these people? How can we help this group, this particular group of homeless young people find their way out of homelessness, find their way to faith in Christ, and find their way into a reasonable life here on this earth? And we're working hard at that, and we're going to keep working hard at that until we come to some good conclusions. We've got some already, and we're helping a couple right now get their GEDs. I think two are in the process of just about completing their GEDs. Here's an interesting situation. So what do you do if you're a homeless kid and you've got really, really, really bad teeth? And they hurt, and they're very unattractive. What's that kid going to do? Well, that kid came to the rescue mission, and my staff had great compassion on him, and they petitioned the old man to help this kid get his teeth fixed. And we've got a couple of dentists who work with us and do a really good job for us at a huge discount. And so we got this kid in to get his teeth fixed, and they're working on his teeth. And I got to tell you, the change in that kid is night and day. This guy, he thinks he died and went to heaven already. He can't believe that anyone would do something like that for him. I had a hard time agreeing to it, frankly. You know, it's a lot of money. But the Lord provided the money, and the Lord provided the dentist, and this kid's life is already radically changed, and he's going to be something. I'll bring him someday to speak at Christ Pres when he's about 30. Oh, wait, I'll be... No, never mind. He's 30. You know how that works out. And then at the other end of the spectrum, and I mean at the other end of the spectrum, and this is stunning, hold on. We have more elderly people in our shelter right now, homeless, than we've ever had in the history of the rescue mission. About 10 days ago, I had a census handed to me, and we had 34 people in shelter who were over 65 years old. That's higher than it's ever been. But when you get into that census and sort it out, here's the truth. I have a 90-year-old man at the River of Life Rescue Mission in the shelter right now. 90-year-old homeless man. I have two men in their 80s in the shelter right now. We have seven people between 70 and 80 years old under our roof today. And then the rest of that 33 people is 65 and up. Now, I am 65 and up. Some of you are. And imagine for just a second that you woke up this morning in a tent or in a car or in someone's garage or on someone's couch, and you're over 65 years old and you don't know what today is going to bring. What a terrible situation. It's terrible for anyone, young or old alike. It's a terrible thing to be homeless. But to be a senior citizen, and in most cases of that population, these people weren't drunks, they weren't alcoholics, they weren't dope addicts, they weren't bad people, they weren't criminals. They were working men and women, did their job every day, paid their rent every month, paid their bills like they were supposed to, and the families are gone, and the spouses are gone, and suddenly they're by themselves, and the rent went up by $400 or $800 a month. Or the trailer that they lived in for 20-something years on a nice piece of dirt in Nampa was sold because the owner died, the kids got it, they sold the trailer, and they were going to build a house there, and they hauled the trailer off, and she's out. 78-year-old woman. 78 years old. Living on about $900 a month Social Security and another couple of hundred from her husband's retirement, and that's it. And suddenly she's got to try to rent a place in the Treasure Valley with a total income of a grand. That's a tough one. And so we've always served elderly people, and now we're just serving a lot more, and they're a lot older. And with that, people of this age, include myself in there, we have special needs. We're not young guys anymore, or women. We're old guys, you know, and you know, we got arthritis, and we've got mobility issues, and we've got illnesses and diabetes, and we've got heart problems, and we've got all these issues, and maybe a little dementia starting to creep in, and maybe we're forgetful, and you know, where exactly am I? And they have these kinds of issues. And when you put those people into a 225-bed rescue mission with a bunch of these 18 to 25-year-olds and a bunch of 40-somethings and 50-somethings, many of whom have had a very dysfunctional lifestyle for a long, long time, and they're not exactly your friendliest folk. You put the old fellow like me in there with some of the issues that old fellows like me have, that can be a very difficult place to be. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would tell us, you got to figure out a way to better serve these people, Roscoe, and you better hurry up because you're getting a lot of them. Family Justice Center in Nampa is one of our great partners, and they deal with victims of domestic violence. And they have seen a huge increase in the numbers of seniors being victim of domestic violence, and as a result of that, losing their place to live. And to try to get someone into an assisted living today is a monumental task, unless they have a lot of income and a lot of good insurance. If they're on Medicare and they don't have a lot of savings in the bank, it's really, really hard to get a bed. It takes a long time. So the Rescue Mission is the partner with Family Justice Center and now with other agencies that deal with evicted and homeless elderly people so that they have a place to go immediately and at least have their basic needs met, such as we can do. But we're going beyond that, because that's not what Jesus would do. He never gives us just the basics. He always gives us superabundance, right? And we've enjoyed that for our lives, and we want people in our shelters to enjoy that as well. So we're trying to sort it out, figure it out. We're getting trained up. One of my staff is a CNA, and we're going to train others to be in that same kind of capacity, certified nursing assistant, so that we know how to help people get to the bathroom, get to the shower, and those kinds of things. And it's going to be a monumental task, frankly. It's an incredible new amount of work on top of all the other work for those 350 that were there last night, not including this special population. But we're going to do that. Because that's what Jesus would do. Jesus would love and show his love in tangible ways to these elderly people who many, by no fault of their own, other than they never had a real big income, never did anything to be thrown out on the street living in homelessness. So we're going to see what we can do about that. And interestingly, at the same time, you'll remember about almost 2 years ago, we shut the Lighthouse Mission in Nampa because we didn't have any homeless guys there. They all went to Ontario, I think. And we shut the Lighthouse Rescue Mission down. I think something happened to the sound. Did I do something? No? Am I okay? Okay. Keep me in line, young man. I'm an old guy, but you can yell at me. Hey! So, I think, anyway, we shut the rescue mission down. The building was empty. And suddenly, God brought these wonderful Ukrainian Christians to our door and said, hey, can we use your building to be the Ukrainian Welcome Center of Idaho? Yeah, why not? And so it has been. And it has been a fantastic ministry. And they've used that building to bring people out from the airport to the lighthouse, put them in a bed, feed them some food, hook them up with another Ukrainian family here in the valley and move them into their home. It's been a beautiful system. It's worked really, really well. And I wish I could remember the numbers. I can't. But there's been a lot of people who've gone through that process. And our building was useful for that purpose. And it's just been a blessing. Well, they now have found foster homes for all the people, and they have foster homes on standby, and they don't need the shelter part of our building anymore. And so they've decided they're going to rent their own building, and they're going to vacate our building. And they found a nice building not far away from us in Nampa, and they're going to have classrooms and do all the things that they continue to do with the refugees to bring them up to speed to live in the United States. But our building is going to become empty again on the 1st of November. So you look at seniors homeless and you look at young people homeless and you think about the problems that occur having some of those populations intermixed, and maybe there's a place to put them in another building. Maybe one of our buildings reopens under the Rescue Mission banner and we serve a group of people there. And we're not sure about this, and I don't want to make any brash statements, but pray for us, the board and I particularly, and the staff, the leadership, that we know what to do, because this is all according to plan. God has a plan, and we're trying to fit into the plan. We see these needs that have come up and the needs that are coming, and we have property that's going to be available, and how can we use it best? That's what we need to know. So thanks for praying for us about that, and we'll see. Next time I come, I'll have a report. You've got to have me back. That's my ticket, see? And then the other thing we've done lately, which is an extension of something that's been going on for 65 years at Boise Rescue Mission, and that is community outreach. And about 2.5-3 years ago, some really good friends of mine in the business community, say on Americana and around the River Trail, down past the River of Life Mission and that really nice restaurant down there. There's been a lot of homeless campers in that neighborhood. And it got to the point where the businesses were suffering as a result of the homeless campers, both on the Greenbelt and living in cars and dilapidated trailer houses and makeshift shelters. There were quite a few homeless people congregating down there a couple years ago. So these guys are good friends of mine, and they support the mission. And we've always made an effort to keep our neighborhoods clean and supervised. We send teams of people out from the rescue mission with a vest that says Rescue Mission. We pick up the trash, and we pick up the needles, and we rouse people. Don't loiter here. You don't need to panhandle on our corner. We're feeding you. We gave you clothes this morning. You know, take your sign and, you know, move on. We've always done that, and that's helpful to the community. And it gives us a chance to interact with people. But when these fellows came and talked to me and a couple of my staff about this problem, a light kind of went on, and one of my staff said, you know what we ought to do? We ought to go out there in a small group, 3 or 4 people, and we ought to bring sandwiches and maybe one of our plastic bags. Maybe some of you made those plastic bags with soap and toothpaste and all that. Bring some of those plastic bags, and let's say hello. Bring some Bible tracts, bring some New Testaments, and do a little more. Try a little harder to develop a relationship with the people out there who are camping. I thought it was a great idea, especially because I didn't have to go. So, you know, hey, yeah, you want to go? Go. I'm the old guy, remember? I don't do that. Anyway, they started doing that, and guess what? We started making relationships with some of these people. At the same time, the city of Boise police decided to be a little more proactive, and it was almost like a tag team. You know, the police would go through and scare everybody, and we'd come through and cheer them up. Hey, we have a place for you right around the corner. Come on over. We can help you. And, of course, some of them did. And then Nampa, Mayor Debbie from Nampa called me one day and said, Bill, I got a homeless camp, about 15 people. They're in a city-owned piece of property off the railroad track there. And in 2 weeks, flood irrigation goes on. And I don't want those people to be flooded. But we can't, the police can't get them to move. You guys do anything like that? Well, as a matter of fact, we do, Mayor Debbie. And we sent the team up there, and they encountered that homeless camp and recruited a few to go to the rescue mission, and ultimately persuaded them that this wasn't a good idea to camp there because the water's coming. And so they were moved on. So we're going to continue to do that. And winter's coming. And one of the great motivators for all of us in rescue is cold weather. Because when it gets cold out there, the tent isn't nearly as nice as it is in July and August, right? Some of us go camping. And we know what that's like out there. So we're going to continue to reach out and interact with people on the street, people in the camps, and see what we can do. Because we want to move them into the shelter for their sake, for their health, and for their safety, but also so that we have the opportunity then to present all the opportunities that are at the rescue mission, including knowing Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Because, you know, meals and shelter is a wonderful thing and everybody needs it, but you can still go straight to hell when you die, having had a lot of meals and shelters, if you haven't had an encounter and made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we want to make sure we do that part of this work as good as we possibly can. I was so surprised the other morning when I woke up and heard about Hamas and whoever else attacking Israel, infiltrated people into their country, and 3,500 rockets came crashing down in the cities. Imagine what those people are going through this morning and how terrible that is. None of us expected that, I don't think. And it happened. And that's just the way the world is today. And we don't know what's happening right now. We might go out here and get in our car and who knows what's going on the radio news. There's so much fear and anxiety in the world today. It's like, in my lifetime, it's never been like this. 9/11 was a shocking, terrible, terrifying event and all of that. I'm a Vietnam combat veteran. I've been to war and back. Those are all bad. What's happening right now is on such a scale of anxiety and fear like I've never seen before, that people walking around us are really terrified about tomorrow. And what's the answer to that terror? The answer to the terror is to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God is in control. No matter what it looks like, no matter what virus comes out of the pipe, no matter what country attacks another, God is still in control. And knowing that is what keeps me on my feet. It keeps me steady. It keeps me hopeful. And I want to share that. We want to share that. Don't we all want to share that with the world around us that's just totally terrified and full of anxiety? And that's exactly why we want to get people into the rescue mission shelter. But that's also exactly why we realize now going out there is just as important. And in our environment, we're best equipped to go out there and reach out to the car camper. We can go to that lot in Nampa where people are sleeping on the grass. We understand people like that. They understand us, kind of. Well, but we understand them. We know how to reach out to them. We know how to minister to them. And we're going to continue to do that. And I'm here this morning to tell you, good folks, wonderful Presbyterian folks, you have a part in that too. We all have a part in that. When I was saved in 1976 at the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church in Petaluma, California, there was a big sign over the door, and it said, without a vision, the people will perish. So every time you went out the doors from the church, you saw that sign, and Pastor made a point of bringing it up to us. Don't forget, what is our vision? And our vision was to reach people for Christ, reach the lost for Jesus. And that's our vision, that's our hope, that's our mission. And we, friends, you and me, the young ones and the not so young ones, we have a mission to share that good news that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he loves you. That's our mission. And I was reading Acts chapter 8 2 weeks ago, and I read this text, and I thought, oh, man, that really moves me. Wonder what that's for. And then God said, hey, you're going to Christ Pres. Maybe read it with them. Okay. So we're going to read Acts chapter 8. And you know the story. I'm sure you know it very well. Stephen has just been martyred, and the apostle who was then Paul of Tarsus was cheering on those who were stoning Stephen to death outside of the gates. And it was a terrible time for the church. And this is that story, and I want to read this and just share a couple things from it with you before we go. So Acts chapter 8, let's go down, let me just read it. 8:1, now Saul was consenting to Stephen's death, and at the time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. That's an interesting side note that I'll leave alone, because that's another message. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. What a fantastic story. What an amazing turn of events. The church was scattered throughout the region of Judah and Samaria. And you could look at that as they were escaping and they were surrendering and they were running. But what were they really doing? It says, therefore, those who were scattered were preaching the gospel. They weren't just running out of Jerusalem. They were running out to preach the gospel. What an amazing testimony. Despite the persecution, despite the fact that they're refugees, despite the fact that some of their family and friends were probably being killed for their faith, these people were preaching the gospel. And this shows us again how God uses every situation for his glory. Every situation, no matter how bleak it looks to you and me, God has a plan, and it's going on in that darkness, that bleakness, being a refugee, run out of your home, seeing your families terrorized. God has a plan, and what the devil intended for harm, God has used for good in this testimony, and people were coming to Jesus. And imagine that the Christians went to Samaria. Most of you would know that the Samaritans and the Jews were mortal enemies, I mean, forever and ever, decades, generations. Ugh. And Jesus preached to them the parable of the good Samaritan, telling the Jews and people being converted to him that there was a good Samaritan, which was an oxymoron to the Jew. There was no such thing as a good Samaritan. Well, he proved to them that there was such a thing as a good Samaritan, and they had to hear that, and they had to learn that. And now they're in Samaria, the Jews, mostly Jews, who fled Jerusalem, the new converts to the church, are in Samaria proclaiming the gospel. And I think it adds to the reason why so many Samaritans were responding. Because here's the people who hated their guts for generations, suddenly telling them, hey, God loves you and so do I. Why don't you come to Jesus? Imagine the power in that message. And people were repenting of their sins, and multitudes were coming to salvation and eternal life. And no one was left out of this huge evangelistic effort. Even Simon, the sorcerer, and his name was known as Simon Magus. And Magus was that, we read that he was the powerful spokesman of God. That's what Magus meant. This dude had it going on. He was deceiving people for a long, long, long time. He was rich. He was famous. He was somebody, you know. Ever see Beetlejuice? What a terrible movie. Remember that little rotten guy? That's this guy. He was deceiving people, tricking people. And all of a sudden, he sees these men come into his town, and they're sharing miracles. People are being delivered of demons. People are being healed. People are being transformed, right? And this guy's blown away. Simon the sorcerer realizes that there is something to this, and so he goes to the disciples, and he prays to become a Christian. Can you imagine what that must have been like for him and for the people who had been thinking, this guy's something? Wait, he's on his knees. He's just like us. What a powerful testimony of the power of God and the love of God and the way that God changes lives. So Simon the sorcerer gets on board. There's more to that story. He gets chewed out a little while later on. That's another part of the story. But he was baptized. He believed and was baptized. And for me, I'll see him in heaven someday. Praise God. Simon the sorcerer. I think it's time for us, church, to take seriously the opportunity that God's presented to us to preach the gospel, using words if necessary, doing it in the church, and doing it out in the parking lot, doing it in the workplace, doing it in our grocery store, doing it every opportunity that God gives it to us. Let's don't wait until we're terrorized and persecuted and scattered. It's going on in the world today, as you know. There are Christians in the world today having their churches burned down and their families killed because of their faith in God. It's happening right now around the world. And even here in North America, look at the challenges that are going on. Just look north of the border in Canada, where they've instituted these hate speech laws so that a guy like me comes, or your pastor, we come and we preach, and they arrest us. They are arresting people in Canada for preaching the truth of the gospel. It's coming. And I don't think that we ought to wait until it's full-blown going on in Meridian, Idaho, before we get out there and try to win people to Christ. Because what if this? What if we do our missionary work? What if we do share our testimony at every opportunity that God gives to us? When the lady comes in the restaurant to ask you what you'd like to order, you ask her name, and then when she comes back with your water and your napkin, you tell her that, do you know that God loves you? I've done that. I've got a friend who does it religiously. And I'm trying to do it religiously, but I've done that. And I'm telling you, no one has ever said, shut up, stupid. They never say that. They all say, oh, maybe they say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Or maybe they say, oh, really? Yeah. And then you maybe leave a track there when she comes back to get her $1.10 tip. Give her that Bible track. And maybe God uses that. We need to do that. We need to do it now because time is running out. The hour is getting late. And we got to do our work to see that the crowd of people going up into heaven when the trumpet sounds is larger than the crowd of people standing down here going, what happened? This is our opportunity right now. People are afraid and terrorized, anxious, paranoid. Look at the suicide rate in every demographic. Look at what's going on. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Homeless people, broken people, hurting people, and people that live right next door to me need the Lord. And we have an opportunity now to share the gospel of Jesus, and so let's do it, and let's be faithful in it. There's an old hymn that I love called Stand Up for Jesus. And I love your music selection this morning, by the way. Beautiful. I want to read you two verses from Stand Up for Jesus as we wrap this up. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. We know that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But we also know that the foolish who are perishing need to hear the message of the cross. And this is our moment, church. This is our opportunity to be bold, to be upfront, to be kind and considerate and loving and bold and upfront, and share what Christ has done in our lives with people who desperately need to know. And the trumpet will sound. Off we go. To be with the King of glory for eternity. Hallelujah. That's good news for modern man. Thank you so much for having me. Pastor, congregation, thanks so much for having me today. And thank you so much for your wonderful support for the Boise Rescue Mission over a long, 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 long time. I've been here 21 years, and you folks have been alongside of me that whole time and before that. So thank you so much for that. Keep us in your prayer, please. Help us to know. Help us to know God's will. Pray for us to know and to do the will of God. And I promise you, we will endeavor to do that. God bless you. Thank you.